All right, Shabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Nun Vav 56, and we are picking up at the Mishnah. Transitioning a little bit to the topic of birds. Ve'ila trefas ba'of. Shabbosai, these are the things which create a trefa in birds. What are they? Nekuvas ha'veshet, a perforation in the esophagus. Psukas ha'gargeres, if ultimately, again, the trachea is severed. Hiksa chulda al rosha, makom sha'osa osa trefa. If a chulda, Rabbosai, chulda is a weasel. If a chulda goes ahead and, Rabbosai, huksa literally means hit. But we're going to actually see what it actually means is bite, right? If the weasel bites the bird on its head, the easiest way to illustrate this, Rabbosai, look at the chicken, right? If the bird goes ahead and, if the weasel goes ahead and bites the chicken on its head, in a place which would make the chicken a trefa. Now, what we're going to see is what this really refers to is a way in which it perforates the membrane of the brain. Again, we'll get into this in the Gemara. Nikev ha-kurkavan, if the gizzard, right, if there's a perforation in the gizzard, or nikvu ha-dakin, or there's a perforation in the intestines, nafla la'ar, if ultimately, again, the animal falls into the fire, right, it falls into fire. And ultimately, again, it's literally, it's kishkas got scorched. Imirokim psulin, if the inside of the animal turns green, right? The inside kishkas turn green, then it's possible. Imadumim psherim, but if the internal organs remain red, and again, we're going to qualify all of this, the animal is kosher. Darsa, if the bird is trampled by another animal, darsa, vitarfavakosa, or again it's thrown against a wall, osheritzisa behema, or again it was trampled upon by another animal, umifarchesa. So we'll say, in other words, in all of these cases, we'll say this is what really we were referring to before as like ritzutz ivarim, right, or risuk ivarim, where ultimately again the inside of the animal, right, we're concerned that the limbs are dislodged, right. So we'll say in a case like this, umifarchesas, if after the traumatic event the animal is still moving, vishasameisleis, and it lives for 24 hours after the traumatic event, vishachta, and then you shechted. Ultimately, again, the animal is still kshera. Because, well, say, if you look at Rashi, just a moment, osheritzisa behema, de'ikala mechash lahani klasa mishum resuk evarim. So, we'll say, these last cases of darsa, tarfa, bakosel, ritzisa behema, so we'll say, these are all cases of resuk evarim, when the animal, again, endured some type of traumatic injury that we are concerned goes ahead and causes what we learned before last week of resuk evarim. Right, literally, again, a mashing up of the limbs, significant internal injury to the animal, which would render it a trefa. So the Mishnah says, as long as the animal experiences movement after this traumatic injury and remains alive for 24 hours, and then you shech the animal, halacha l'maisa, the animal will be kosher. Good. Says the Gemara. Rav Shmuel v'Levi d'Amri. So we'll say, so focusing on the first part of the Mishnah, which speaks about if the chicken, I'm just using chicken as an example, but if the chicken was bitten in the head by a weasel in a way that makes the animal a trefa, so the animal is a trefa, so the Gemara says, how do you know, meaning how do you test for this? So says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel v'Levi d'Amri, machnis yado lifnim uvode. So we'll say what you do over here is this, it's actually quite interesting. For the Gerashi, machnis yado b'fev shalof, shenashchaso b'chulda b'rosha, u'bodek, I'm reading next Rashi, dochek ezbo klape checha of, v'amoach nitchok l'malo, im hamoach mevatz ve'is v'yotzal derech hanekev trefa. So let's listen to this. So what you do is, you insert your finger into the mouth of the animal, to the mouth of the chicken, you push your finger up against the upper palate, and what you look for is, do you see any brain matter that comes through the head of the animal? If brain matter comes out of the head of the chicken, that means that the membrane surrounding the brain was perforated. If nothing comes out, then ultimately, again, it means it was not perforated, and therefore the animal is kosher. In mevatzes va'ola trefa, if brain matter comes out of the top of the head, then ultimately the animal is a trefa. Ve'im lav kshera, but if not, the animal will be kosher. To which the Gemara says, Hani chalaman da'amar ad dimankiv karma taso. So remember, again, we had this sugya last week or 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, which is about to say that when it comes to a perforation of the membrane of the brain, there are two membranes, right? So this makes sense according to the opinion who says that in order for the animal to be a trefa, both the upper and lower membranes must be perforated. Then what we'll call the finger test will work. Because then if I push my finger up against the palate of the animal, if both membranes are perforated, the brain matter will come out. However, Eleman Domer Inkiv Ilo, Afagavdolo Inkiv Tasa. According to the opinion who says that halacha lemaaseh, the animal becomes a trefa, even if just the upper membrane is perforated and the lower one is not, then Rabbi, here's the problem, which is the finger test will not work. Why? Because if the lower membrane is intact, then brain matter will not come out of the head of the animal. So the Gemara says, Eleman Domer Inkiv Ilo Afagavdolo Inkiv Tasa Nechush. We should be concerned. Dilma ilo inkuf. Maybe the upper membrane was in fact perforated. Tasa lo inkuf. But ultimately, again, the lower one was what? The lower one was not perforated. To which the Gemara says, Iisa de inkuf ilo. Tasa agav ruch be mifka paka. To which the Gemara says, no. Even if just the upper one was perforated, apparently the lower membrane is much more fragile than the upper one. So because that, Rabbi say, if the upper membrane was perforated, then if you were to do the finger test by pushing up against the palate of the animal, it would break through the lower membrane of the brain, come out the head of the animal, and that would show you that the upper membrane was perforated as well. Okay. Amar Ziri. So we'll say, so this is the first approach. So this is Rav, Shmuel, and Levi, who all hold that if you have a chicken that was bitten in the head by a weasel, and you're not sure again if the animal is a trefa or not, to use the finger test. Put your hand in the mouth of the animal, push up against the palate of the animal. If brain matter comes out, the animal is a trefa. If nothing comes out, the animal is kosher. Good. Shalom Yisrael. Amar Ziri. Ziri comes along and he says a little bit differently. Ein b'dika l'chulda. Ziri says in reality, there's no real way to check if the chulda, if the weasel, is a trefa or not. Why not? Mipnei sheshineha dakos. Because the teeth of the weasel are very thin. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Chishineha dakos mahavi. So what does that matter? I mean, just because the teeth are thin, therefore, again, there's no badika. To which the Gemara says, Amravoshia mipnei sheshineha dakos vaakumos. So this is actually very interesting, because the teeth are thin and are also slanted. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, akumos. It's about 8 lines up from before Rashi gets right. Akumos. V'nokiv ba'alach sonikishamoch nitchaf l'mala ha'etzim sosmos. Well, listen to this. Because the teeth are slanted, so therefore, you know, Rabosai, Ziri says the finger test won't work. The finger test only works when, Rabosai, when the perforation, right, when the perforation lines up, when the, I should say, the holes in the head line up with the holes of the membrane. The problem is when the teeth are slanted, so the holes don't line up. Because of that, when you push up on the palate of the animal, so the brain matter will not necessarily come through the head. But lemaisa, again, it could be that the brain membrane is in fact punctured, is in fact perforated. So therefore, again, Ziri says, there's no real way to check. Nebo say in the absence of no real way to check. So therefore, what's the status of the animal? Trefa. Right? Because again, it's going to be a safek d'oraisa. So I have to go to chumro to call the animal a trefa. Ki salak l'narado. When Ziri went to Narado, shalach luhu. He sent back the following message. Divarim sha'amart lefneichem tal sein biyadi. That which I said to you before was a mistake. So Ziri now is recanting. Right, he's recanting. It was incorrect. Right, kach amru mishmei baram kach amru mishmei Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish bodkin lechulda biyad aval lo b'misamer. So we'll say, so Ziri says, I saw the light. What I said was wrong. You can't check the chicken to ultimately see if the skull was perforated with the finger test biyad. But the finger test can be done with your hand, but not with a nail. Now we'll say, now what does that mean, not with a nail? Look at Rashi, Miss Samer. Rashi says, it's 4 lines up from before the lines get wide. Milamala molicho al hanekev, liros im yachkor bekrum. So we'll say there's another way to check the brain, which is if after the animal is slaughtered, you open up the skull of the animal, and essentially what you do is you take a nail. Now we'll say this is actually a nail, an actual nail, right? You take a nail and you run it across the surface area of the brain, of the membrane. So very simply, if the membrane is intact, then what? The nail will slide smoothly across. If there's a hole, the nail will get stuck. So Ziri says, I realize now you can in fact check with your finger, but you cannot check with a nail. Why can't you check with a nail, Abosai? Because the probability is if you end up checking with a nail, what's going to happen? You'll end up perforating the membrane with the nail, meaning you'll end up making the animal a trefa, or at least thinking the animal is a trefa just because of the nail itself. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, after Misamer. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you could even use a nail. So Rashi says, both give lochayshinim ledilma iu nakiv labiyade. So we'll say, let's see. We'll plug it to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nechemya. And we'll say, this is machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nechemya. Chad badik biyada, v'chad badik b'machta. One would only check with his hand, right? Which would be, there we'll say, the finger test. And one would check even with a nail. So the words, man de badik biyada, the one who would check with his hand, amrali the man de badik b'machta, would say to the one who checked with the nail, ad masai ata mechale mamonon shal Yisrael. How can you check with a nail? You're going to end up inadvertently declaring these animals trefas, not because the animal is really a trefa, but because you're going to perforate the membrane itself with the nail. Amrali man de badik b'machta man de badik b'yata, and the one who checked with the nail said to the one who was checking with his finger, Ad masay atam ma'achil Yisrael nevelas. How long are you going to cause Klal Yisrael to eat nevelas? We'll say they're both pretty stark in their opinions. Nevelas? How can you call it nevela v'ashchuti? Ela trefas shemanikav krum shama. So we'll say here's the difference. The difference is with the nail test. To a certain degree, it's a bit more precise. Now the risk with the nail test is that you end up perforating the membrane yourself. The difference, but the difference is that if there is a perforation, you will catch it much sooner with the nail than you will with the finger test. Why? Because mostly with the finger test, the one downside you have to this is what? Is because the possibility that we'll call it the entry point of the teeth on the head of the animal do not necessarily line up with the holes in the brain membrane. So because of that, when you push up with your finger, the brain matter may not come out of the head, even though the animal is in fact a trefa. That is the risk with the finger test. So therefore, again, interestingly enough, the one who advocates for the nail test would say, you know what? I'd rather run the risk of inadvertently or mistakenly declaring the animal a trefa than run the risk of allowing Jews to eat things that are not kosher. Incredible idea. It would appear to be clear that Rabbi Huda was the one who checked by hand. He believed in the finger test. Tisanya, Rabbi Shimon Allah Omer, Mishon Rabbi Huda, Botkin Lechulda Biyad, Avalo B'Misamer. So what's it we learned? That you can check, right? You could check the Chulda. You could check for the weasel bite, right? With your hand, but not with a nail. Not with a nail. Nishbara etzen abosei. Now, here's what's interesting. So, what this just kind of solidifies over here is that halacha lemaaseh, Rabbi Huda is the one who advocates the finger test. Put your finger in the mouth of the chicken, right? Push up against the palate. If the brain matter comes out, the animal is a trefa. If not, the animal is kosher. Abosei, now we're about to open the door on something different. Nishbar ha'etzen. Abosei, nishbar ha'etzen means if the skull is perforated, Afa pishalonikav krum shamoach. I will say, if the skull is perforated, even if the brain membrane was not perforated, the animal is a trefa. So the Gemara says, tistayim, shoshkoyach. What you just accomplished is, you've shown that in fact it was Rabbi Huda who advocated for the finger test. Okay, now we have a problem though. Gufa, kasha, amrit botkin l'chul d'biyad. I will say, first wide line, nun vav and aleph. So you just said before that what? That you could check the bird, right? You could check the chicken with your finger, right? You do the finger test. Push up against the palate with your finger. check for brain matter. Avalobu misar, but not with a nail. Alma islay bidikusa. Rebbe say, but what's the take-home message over here? The take-home message is that when the chicken is bitten in the head by a weasel, then halacha lemaisa, it's not automatically a trefa. In other words, it requires bidika. It requires examination, right, to see whether or not there's a trefa. Alma islay bidikusa. Vahadutani, and then what did you just say? Nishbar ha'etzem afapi shalonikev krum shamoach. Rebbe say, now what did you just say? You just said afterwards that what? Once the skull is perforated, even if what? Even if the brain membrane was not, the animal is a trefa. Alma, let's say bidikusa. Therefore, we'll say, now that's a 180. Right? We'll say, if you're going to tell me now, we're assuming over here that the skull is perforated any time that the weasel is biting the chicken. So what you're telling me now is, any single time the chicken gets bitten in the head by a weasel, halacha lemaisa, it's a trefa, even if the brain membrane was not perforated. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, oh, two different cases. Seifa asa'an la'of shalmayim, ho'il ve'in lo krum. They both say, apparently, waterfowl. Waterfowl have no brain membrane. So because of that, if the waterfowl is bitten in the head by another animal, once the skull is perforated, the animal is, in fact, a trefa. To which the Gemara says, ein lo krum, is that true? That waterfowl does not have a brain membrane? So the Gemara says, ein lo krum, something like that. First of all, we know just anatomically that's not true. Even waterfowl have a membrane around the brain. Elo, hoil krum orach. Rather, what it means is apparently waterfowl have a very fragile or very thin, very soft membrane around the brain. So when it comes to waterfowl, essentially, again, if the animal is bitten in a way that perforates the skull, so ultimately, again, it is considered to be a trefa, because we assume with the perforation of the skull, the brain membrane was automatically perforated as well. With other fowl, meaning non-waterfowl, then Rabbi will say, what do? We do the finger test, meaning it's possible to perforate the skull without perforating the membranes. So we check ultimately, again, if the animal is a trefa, with the finger test, inserting our finger in the mouth of the animal, pushing up against the palate, and seeing if brain matter exits the puncture wounds on the animal. Amar li Rav Nachman l'Rav Anan. Amar, Shmuel Badik Biyada, Umachshir. So what says this? So Rav Nachman said to Rav Anan, Rebbe, you taught us that Shmuel used to do the finger test by fowl, Umachshir, and he would declare the animal kosher based on that test. V'huna chavrin, Amar, Rav Badik Biyada, Umachshir, and Huna, our friend, also taught that Rav would also use the finger test. Aye, v'hotani Levi, but Levi also taught Trefes Shemanu Chachamim Behema. So we'll say the Chachamim made an exhaustive list of Trefes when it comes to Behemas. Kenegdan Ba'of Yeser Alehen. But yet there's an extra Trefa by birds. What's the extra Trefa? Of, right? Of Nishpar Ha'etzem Afapish Lo Nikev Krum Shamoach. The Rabbi will say by birds, once the skull is perforated, even if the brain membrane was not perforated, the animal is a trefa. So we'll say, once again, this is a contradiction. You're telling me now that as soon as the skull is perforated, even if the brain membrane is not perforated, the animal is a trefa. Amar Leh, so we'll say, gives the same answer. Hahu ba'ov shalmayim. That's talking about waterfowl. Waterfowl, ho'il ve'en lo krum. We'll say, so by waterfowl, because there is no membrane around the brain, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, once you puncture the skull, the animal is going to be a trefa. So the Gemara says, "In lo krum sagadatlo." What? Waterfowl has no membrane around the brain. It's pashut not true. It does have membrane around. Ela hoil ukrum orach. We'll say what it means is it has a membrane, but the membrane is very thin. And because it's very thin, we assume that as soon as the skull is punctured, the membrane is punctured along with it. Good. Hahi tarnagola. Well, so let's talk about a story about a chicken. Hayi tarnagolta dehavoi be Rav Chana. Well, so there was a chicken in the house of Rav Chana. Now, so what that means is there was a shechted chicken that came as a shayla before Rav Chana. What happens? A trefa shayla. Shadru the kamid Rav Masna. So we'll say he sent the shayla to Rav Masna. What was the case? Nishbar ha'etzem. So we'll say it was a case of where the skull of the chicken was perforated, but the brain membrane was intact. And we'll say what happened. And Rav Masna paskin that the chicken was kosher. Amar Leh v'hatani Levi, Trefus Shemanu Chachamim v'behema kinegdan ba'of yesra lein of. Nishbar ha'etzem ava pi'eshel nikav krum shavach. Aye, but 1 second. Levi taught that in addition to all the treifas by behemoths, all of those same treifas apply by birds, but there's an extra treifa by bird, which is what? If the skull is perforated, even though the brain membrane remains intact, right? So we'll say, so therefore, again, how can you say that this chicken is kosher? After all, again, if the skull is perforated, the chicken should be a treifa. Amarlei, so Rav Masna responded, Amarlei, hasam ba'of shalmayim, ho'il ve'im lo krum. We'll say, so now, same answer, third time. That's talking about waterfowl. So we'll say waterfowl, again, because, quote-unquote, they don't have a membrane around the brain. Therefore, once you pierce the skull, the animal is a treifa. What are you talking about? Waterfowl has no membrane around the brain. That's not true. Rather, we'll say what? That since, again, the membrane around the brain of waterfowl is very soft, we assume that once the skull is perforated, the brain membrane is perforated as well, and therefore, halacha l'maaseh, the animal is a treifa. Good. Rav Shizvi was a bottom line in Vav Amud Aleph. Rav Shizvi Badik B'Shimsha. So we'll say other ways of examining now. If all the same case, we'll say, of where the chicken is bitten in the head, and we're trying to examine whether or not the animal is a treifa. So Rav Shizvi Badik B'Shimsha. Rav Shizvi examined the membrane in the sun. We'll say what he would do is they would cut open the skull, very carefully remove the membrane, hold the membrane up to the sun, and be able to see if there was any hole in the membrane as well. Rav Yemar Badik B'mayo. Rav Yemar, he checked it with water. Again, we would remove the membrane, fill it up with water. If it has a leak, that shows that it has a hole. If it doesn't have a leak, then it's fine. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Badik Amadeiz B'gila D'chitisa. So we'll say, so Rav Ada Bar Ava, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, excuse me, we check it ultimately again. Literally, Begila Dechitasa means like a wheat straw, stalk of wheat. So we'll say this is kind of like the same idea as the nail. He would take a stalk of wheat and run it across the surface area of the brain membrane. If it would be smooth, that indicates to us that halacha l'maaseh said no hole. If it would hit something, that tells us that there's a hole. Good. So Amar Rav Shizvi Hani Avzi Didan. So Rav Shizvi now comes along and says, these geese that we have, so ke'of shamayim damyam, they're considered to be like waterfowl. So this is actually quite interesting. The geese are like waterfowl. Look at Rashi. Obviously, the Don Rashi says, ho'il v'tamit hidden b'mayim, because these geese apparently were by water, therefore they have the status of waterfowl. Now, why is that important? Because we just made a major distinction that halacha l'maaseh, what's the status of waterfowl? We assume that if there's a perforation in the skull, then what? The animal is a treifa. Why? Because even though, again, the waterfowl also has a membrane around the brain, we assume that membrane is thin, and therefore any perforation of the skull automatically perforates the membrane as well, and therefore halacha l'maaseh becomes a treifa. So what comes out over here is as follows. What comes out from this sugya is, first of all, the way the Shulchan Aruch Patan Zerbo says, like Rav, Shmuel, and Levi, that halacha l'maaseh, if you have this case of the chicken that is bitten by the head of the weasel, how do we check if the animal is a treifa or not? We use the finger method. Right, we insert our finger into the mouth of the animal, push up against the palate. If brain matter comes out, the animal is a treifa. If brain matter does not come out, the animal is kosher. That is true by regular fowl, but by waterfowl, we assume that any perforation of the skull automatically renders the animal a treifa. Good, weiter. Nafla lor. So we'll say the next case in the Mishnah was, if the animal falls into the fire. So if you remember, again, the animal falls into the fire, the nechmeru b'nei me'eha, and the inside, the kishkas of the animal become scorched. Right? So says the Gemara. The animal is a treifa. Amar b'yochun, Mishnah Rabbi Yossi ben Yehoshua. So we'll say, remember again, one of the ways, the Mishnah then went on to also discuss the idea, im yerokim psulim. If the insides of the animal, we're going to define this more right now, if the insides of the animal become green, the animal is pasul, if treifa. If they're red, the animal is kosher. So now let's analyze. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Rabbi Yossi ben Yehoshua, shir yirokosam. So we'll say, when we speak about the shir of green, in other words, we'll say, it's not about the coloration, but rather how much of the internal organs has to become green. Kishir nikuvasan. We'll say, the shir of green is the same thing as the shear for perforation. How so? Manikuvasan b'mashu, afirukasan b'mashu. Let's say, just like by perforation, even the smallest perforation could render the animal a trefa, so too again with green, even the smallest amount of green on internal organs renders the animal a trefa. Again, we're going to qualify which organs this applies to. Boy minei, Rav Yosef b'rei Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Rav Yoshua ben Levi. Horika kaveit kineged b'nei me'ayim mahu. But say, what happens if the liver turns a little bit green right next to the place where it's situated on top of the intestines? What's the halacha? Amrale, trefa. To which he responded, it's trefa. V'lo yehe ela nitla. I don't understand. Why should a green liver or a green spot in the liver ultimately go ahead and make the animal trefa? After all, again, Rabbi say, what's the halacha? Even if the liver was totally removed, right, the animal would be kosher. So why should a green liver be any worse than what? Be any worse than a removed liver? And if a removed liver is going to be okay, then halacha l'maaseh, if a little piece of the liver turns green, it should also be okay. Amarava, kevan shorika kaveit kinege b'nei me'ayin, biyadua shenaflu la'ar, v'nechmenu b'nei me'ayin v'tshefa. Because I will say, that sign ultimately again of the liver turning green by the area of the intestines, or I should say by the area that it sits on top of the intestines, tells us that this animal fell into fire, was scorched, and is therefore a treva. So I'll say this goes back to what we learned a little bit about yesterday, that interestingly enough, sometimes again, not having the organ is fine, but having a diseased organ or a blemished organ ultimately again will be problematic. Remember again, we spoke about the Musar Haskil is an incredible Musar in that also. Should have to go over again. So it says, therefore again, this idea is if you find some green on the liver by the area of the intestines, that shows us that the animal is srufa, fell into the fire, and therefore again has the status of a trefa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, supposed to listen to this. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, hav yehi tarnagolas. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had a tarnagolas, had this chicken. Shadre lekame di Rabbi Elazar akafa beribi. So I say, so what happens? He sent it to Rabbi Elazar akafa beribi. Amarle yirukin havu va'ach shira. So I say, so what happens? He said, oh, it's okay. The chicken is green and it's kosher. What? Vaha anan tsna. But we learned in our Mishnah that what yirukin psulin. But say we learned that yaruk, right? That if the animal is green, if the insides are green, then halacha lemais again the animal is pasul. To which the Gemara says, "Lo amru yirokim psulin ela bekurkiban belev ubekavid." Both say green is only problematic by the gizzard, the heart, and the liver. Those organs, if they are green, ultimately, again, that is a sign ultimately of nafla ba'ar, that it fell into the fire, and halach lemais is a trefa. Tanya namihachi, we have a brisa that supports this. Be'elu b'nei me'ayim amru. Right? Which parts of the inside of the animal did we say that the color green is problematic? Bikurkaban, belev, ubekavit. We'll say with the gizzard, the heart, and the liver. Rabbi Yitzchak, bar Yosef, so again, this is actually a very important qualification. It's only these three internal organs ultimately that pose a problem out the green. Rabbi Yitzchak, bar Yosef, havile, hahu tarnagolta. So say Rabbi Yitzchak, bar Yosef, had a chicken. Shadra the Kamid Rabbi Avo, he sent it before Rabbi Avo for Amalei Adumin Havu Trefa, and Rabbi Avo said the inside of the animal is red, and therefore the animal is a trefa. Wow. Vahana Antana Adumin Ksheru, we said in the Mishnah that red is a good color, right? If the kishkas of the animal are red, that's a good thing. Amalei Adumin Shoriku Viyurukin Shedimu Trefa. So it's essentially what he said is as follows. Parts of the animal that are supposed to be red but turned green are trefa. Same thing, parts of the animal that are supposed to be green and turn red are a trefa. Lo amru adumin ksherin. They both say red is only a good color where? Ela belev, bekurkaban ubekavit. With the heart, the gizzard, and the liver. Those are the three parts, ultimately, again, of the inside of the animal that are supposed to be red, and therefore, again, are kosher if they're red, and are trefa if they're green. Amar Rabbi Mani, Adumin Shahoriku, v'shulkan. Well, it's actually a very interesting case. What happens if you have an internal part of the animal, right, that was red, shahoriku, but then became green? And we'll say, so what happens? And I have internal organs that were red, became green. V'shulkan, I boil them in water. V'chazu v'ha'adimu, and they became red again. What's the halacha? K'sherin. Ultimately, again, the animal is kasher. Why? My time. Kutra ayalbu. Because we'll say, essentially, it's actually very interesting. It must have just been some smoke damage to the organ, right? The organ itself is not a treifa. And as we'll say, which makes sense. If the normative color can be restored just with some water, right, with some boiling water, that's usually indicative that there's not really systemic damage to the organ. There's just some basic smoke damage. Amrav Nachar Bar Yitzchak, Af Anan Ne'emar, we also said this, Adumin Shelo Horiku, V'Shalkan V'Horiku. We'll say, if you had red internal organs, which did not turn green, and as a result of boiling them, Horiku, they turn green, Trefa. Ultimately, again, the animal has the status of Trefa. My Taima, what's the reason for that? Igloi Basayu. They both said, this lesson actually is very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says it's probably about 12 lines down, 12, 15 lines down in Rashi in the short lines. Igloi ba'asayu cherpasan. Right? Literally, again, their degradation has been revealed. Devadai nechmeru. Clearly, again, they were damaged by the fire, right? They were damaged by the fire, and therefore, again, the animal is a trefa. So it says, it's actually quite interesting. So therefore, again, Rav Ashi says, based on this hilchach, lo lechol inish ela bishlaka. So interesting. Rashi says, therefore, again, a very important halacha, which is, you cannot eat of an animal until you have boiled up its internal organs. Why Rabbi say? Because apparently boiling up in water tells you whether or not there was fire damage to the animal. Rabbi said, but the Gemara says, velohi, this is not true. Achzuke reya solo mechazkin. Rabbi say, actually a very important point. The Gemara says, no, this is not true. In general, Rabbi say, we assume that an animal has a cheskas kashrus until we know otherwise. In other words, when you look at the internal organs, if the ones that are supposed to be green are green, and the ones that are supposed to be red are red, there is no need to be choshesh that what? Maybe the ones that are red are really green, the ones that are green are really red, and we have to boil it up. We don't have to do that. Only if halacha lemaisa, there's a reason for that chashash, we go through this process. But otherwise, if everything looks good, then ultimately, again, we assume it is good. Darsa tarfa bakosa. So what's the memory again? The Mishnah said that if halacha lemaisa, the animal was trampled by another animal, or was thrown against the wall. So again, you have to be choshesh, then maybe it's a treifa. Amar Belazar ben Antigonus, Mishnah Belazar ben Avianai, Achas zu v'achas zu tricha b'dika. We'll say any time that the animal has experienced a traumatic injury, halach lemaiset requires additional b'dika. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. Ve'eluk sheres ba'of. We'll say these are the cases of where the animal sustains an injury, but the animal is still kosher. What are they? Nikva ha-gargeres. So we'll say if again there's a perforation in the trachea. Oshenistika. Or I will say the trachea was split down along its length. Hiksa chulda arosha bakom shena osa trefa. Or, let's say the bird was attacked, was bitten by a chulda, but in a place on the head where it doesn't make it a trefa. Nikev hazefek. Right? If the crop of the animal was perforated. Rebbe Omer afilu nitol. Rebbe says, even if the crop was removed, ultimately, again, it does not pose a problem for the animal. It's not making a trefa. Yatsu b'nei me'evelo nikvu. If the intestines of the bird came out, but they did not become perforated, so that also, no trefa. Nishtabru gapel. If ultimately, again, its wings were broken, does not make it a trefa. Nishtabru raglau. If its feet were broken, it does not make it a trefa. Nimritu kanafel. If its feathers were removed, it does not become a trefa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im natla hanotza psula. Rabbi Yehuda says, we'll say, if the notes, right, the notes of feathers were removed, the animal, in fact, becomes pusle. Now, we'll say, pusle in this context means not kosher. Now, what's the notes? It's actually very interesting. Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, divrei amasal, nimertu kenafel, hainu notza gidola, notza hiadaka, Hasmucha basar. We'll say apparently the notza are the small feathers that are right next to the flesh of the animal. As we'll see, those are the feathers that give the animal its basic body heat. Without that, it's problematic for the animal. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda posits that it denotes a feather. The small feathers right next to the flesh are removed. The animal is pasul. Tana Rabbanan, we'll say, here we go. Rabbi Tzadik, Shahochu the Aber Shana Balud. So we'll say there was once a story of Rabbi Simoi, Rabbi Yitzchak, and they went to declare an Ibriyar, right? They went to declare a leap year in the city of Lud. The Shavsu Ba'ono. And we'll say, what happens? They ended up spending Shabbos in the city of Ono. And what happens? Well, say, obviously, these great Rabbanim are there. So what happens? People are bringing them all of their Shailas. Vahoru bitarfachas kerebi. I'm sorry, kerebi bezefak. And we'll say, ultimately, again, they paskin. We'll say, tarfachas is the uterus of the animal. They paskin when it comes to the tarfachas of the animal, like Rebbe's psak by the zefak. So we'll say, so okay. So what does that mean? So remember, the Mishnah just told us that Rebbe just said in the Mishnah that even the zefek is the crop of the animal, right? See, even if the crop is removed, Rebbe said the animal is still kosher. So we'll say, so what's happening over here, so just follow the story. Rebbe Simai and Rebbe Tzadok are going to Lud to declare the leap year. They spend Shabbos in the city of Ono. When they're in Ono, people are bringing by all of these shilas. Among the shilas was an animal without a uterus. How do they paskin? So apparently these Rabban and paskin, that halacha lemaisa, an animal without a uterus, they paskin like Rebbe by Zefek. Right? Rebbe like with an animal without the crop. So what does that mean? So Yibay Lehu, Horu bitarfachas li sura, ki Rebbe bezefek lehetera. Does it mean that the same way that Rebbe permitted an animal without a Zefek, that they went ahead and prohibited an animal without a uterus? In other words, we'll say, is it saying that the same way that Rebbe said that this organ was not necessary for the animal, they said the uterus was necessary for the animal, and therefore the animal is a trefa? Ol dilma, haru bitarfachas lehetera ki Rebbe bezefek. Or maybe what they did is they paskin that just like Rebbe holds the absence of the zefek does not render the animal of a trefa as a trefa, so too the absence of the uterus does not make the animal a trefa. But aval kirebi bezefek lo svir lehu. But they themselves did not agree with Rebbe's psak by zefek. In other words, they held that the absence of the uterus does not make the animal a trefa, but they did not agree with Rebbe that the absence of the crop does not render the animal a trefa. To which the Gemara says, Teku. We're not sure. The Gemara is just saying, we don't know what happened in this story. We're not exactly sure the way they paskin. Amar Rabba, v'itein Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, gago shel zefek, nidon kiveshes. Well, that's actually very interesting. The top of the zefek, the top of the crop, has the status of the esophagus. Remember, we'll say the esophagus leads right into the crop, which is right the first part of the stomach of the animal. So it has the top of the zefek, has the status of the veshet. Heicha, amar Rabbi b'barabaye, kol shenimtach imo. So we'll say, so which part of the crop does this refer to? Kol shenim tachimo, Rashi says. And we'll say, now what that means is, the same way by the esophagus, any amount of perforation renders the animal a trefa, so too in the top part of the crop, which ultimately leads into the esophagus, any small perforation will also go ahead and render the animal a trefa. What's considered to be the top of the crop, Rashi says, kol shenim tachimo, mimakum shumascha limashek litzad aveshet, so we'll say, at the point in time where the esophagus begins to narrow into the crop, that's the area of the crop that ultimately has the status of the esophagus. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that if the intestines of the bird came out, as long as they did not become perforated, the animal is not a trefa. We'll say that's only true if the intestines were not inverted. In other words, we'll say the intestines came out of the animal, but were not turned upside down. We'll say once the intestines are turned upside down, ultimately what? The animal is a trefa. Why, we'll say? Because as soon as you manipulate the intestines, you have to be concerned for the fact that the intestines will become knotted. Once they become knotted, we'll say the organ is dead. Right, the argument that becomes a trefa. Dechsev, who ascha v'yechonineka. Because the pasuk is actually interesting. The pasuk says the Gemara culture of the year from the pasuk in Devarim, who ascha v'yechonineka. Literally, again, Hakadosh Baruch Hu made us v'yechonineka. And I will say now the way we normally translate that word is he established us. But the Gemara says something amazing. Malamed shebara Hakadosh Baruch Hu konenios ba'adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu created it was a basis in man. Shemnepach achas mehen eno yachol lichyos. So we'll say, remember again, the way the intestines are arranged inside of a person is that they're coiled, right? They're coiled. And we'll say, what happens if chas v'shalom again, the placement of the coil becomes disrupted? So again, tzaris, right? Big tzaris. Who ascha vaychoneneka? Kadosh Baruch Hu made us, and I will say he made konenios. He made bases. He arranged us, and I will say where our body is arranged in a systemic area. I will say you understand the muster in that. Why Kadosh Baruch Hu created us like that to teach us that life has to have a seder. Life has to have a seder. I will say seder. Order is one of the most important things in life. You know, what's like, what do we say? What's one of the questions we ask after 120? Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu asks us, Kavata itim la Torah. Right? What does Kavata itim la Torah mean? Did you establish time to learn? Now, we'll say, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask what? He doesn't ask, did you learn? Kavata itim la Torah. Did you set aside specific times and honor those times? Because they're both saying, spiritual success in life is not just about learning Torah. It's about establishing a schedule of learning and maintaining that schedule. It's about maintaining a kvius. It's about maintaining a seder, because the most important thing in life is seder, is order. If you don't have order, if everything is always moving around the bosa, it's very hard to get traction and forward moving in life. Where do we learn this from? Your intestines. Right? The intestines have to lay in a certain way. And if you upset the order, who asecha v'ichoneneka, if you upset the order, big tzaris. Big tzaris. So both say that's the metaphor. Anytime you need chizuk in life, just look inside, right? Look in your kishkas. Right? The same way that the intestines have a seder, everything in life has to have a seder. Incredibly important. Tanya, Hare Meir Omer, who asecha v'ichoneneka? Kadosh Baruch Hu made us, right? And ultimately, again, Vaychoninaka. Karacha de Kule Bey. So we'll say, Kracha de Kule Bey. So we'll say, interesting enough, with this we'll have to stop. But Rabbi Meir said, this is actually a metaphor for Yerushalayim. It is the city with everything in it. Now Rashi says over here, Krach Shakoba, Valknesses Yisrael Ne'emar, Shekol Moshlein Mehen Velome Amachas. So we'll say, interesting enough, not just Yerushalayim, but really Klal Yisrael. Hu Ascha Vaychoninaka means Kadosh Baruch Hu made us and established us. Clearly so, we are a self-sufficient people. Everything we need, we have within ourselves. What does this mean? Mimenu Kohanav, we have Kohanim. Mimenu Neviyav, we have Neviim. We'll say, Leviim shouldn't feel slighted by this. Leviim are included with the Kohanim also. Right? We have Kohanim, we have Neviim. Mimenu Sarav, we have, again, Sarim, we have important ministers. Mimenu Malachav, ultimately, again, we have King Shneamar. Mimenu Panam, so we'll see here the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk. From the pasuk in Zechariah, Mimenu Pina, Mimenu Yase, Mimenu Keshes, Mucham, and Yetze Kol Nogesh Yachtov. Ultimately, again, everything comes from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is this self-sufficient people. Ultimately, again, with everything coming from. So, also, we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up in Mir Session with the rest of this discussion tomorrow. Shkoya.
Seder has to be more.
So I have a quick question. We're putting a finger up the chicken to see.